Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Appreciate you hanging out with us. You're in the loop on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Get involved with the program on the text line. The 5-Hour Energy fan line, that is 713-572-4610. What tier of the NFL does this team, this Texans team, fall into? Because power rankings are an interesting thing, but I think sometimes we can lose the forest for the trees, so
yeah,
to say.
Yeah.
Figuring out which one place is above another, and they're really interesting exercises. But I like kind of tiers that you can kind of clump teams together, and because sometimes for one reason or another, one team might be above one in one respect, but below another in another. But if you can kind of put them in a group where these teams are similar and see who what neighborhood you're in, who you're around, and what you're looking at, I think that can be interesting, because we've talked a lot about like what this Texans team is and isn't, and sometimes you need a different level of context with it. So I think let's try this as an exercise, if you don't mind.
I love these kind of thought exercises, you know that, and because it really, the reason I love them is because it kind of gives you the answer as you're sort of parsing out these tiers, you know, and it also gives you context of what you really, what your gut is telling you about a team, what your eyes are telling you about a team. And I'll give you an example. I put it in four tiers, just for, you know,
there might be sub tiers.
I think there might be sub. And in fact, it's funny you say that, because I think in the contender part, I'm seeing a contender with a 6-4 record.
Yeah,
but I think is right there with a contender that has a 8-2 record.
Well, then I don't think, and that's the beauty of the tiers, man. We're not doing rankings or necessarily we're not doing a standings. That is,
yeah,
those won't matter as much for me.
So tell me how you feel about these. I've got elite.
Yeah, and I feel like this is interesting because around the NFL, I got maybe one in a possible. How many teams you have in the elite category?
This is why it's a fun discussion. It's a fun exercise, because my eyes are telling me, what my gut tells me, I think there's three elite teams.
Well, I think we're all going to agree that the Detroit Lions are an elite team.
Kansas City Chiefs, and I got the Bills.
I personally would feel a little bit more comfortable about the Bills than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Ooh. See, that's why I like this, because like you're seeing something that is not quite to the level that I'm seeing. And neither one of us is necessarily wrong, but if you put them in the...
I could be wrong in this. I'm not going to pretend like there's a possibility.
It's my opinion.
So I think there's three teams that are elite in the NFL right now, which is also interesting when you look at who didn't make the list in terms of... I don't have the Ravens as elite.
No.
I've got them in the contender. I got elite, contender, and long shot. And then everybody else. The only elite teams I would say right now are the Chiefs, Bills, and Lions.
Yeah, give me the Lions, and I think I'd be talking to the Bills. The Chiefs have been, and I think there's a lot of deference where if we change that logo, yes, they're 9-1, and I guess I need to make sure that I acknowledge that. But the way that they've been kind of sneaking by, and yes, the game is about winning the football games. I understand. But there's something about the Chiefs that feels just like a half step down.
Yeah.
And maybe I just need to go ahead and get on board and say, all right, Chiefs in there as well as elite. But yeah, there's something about them. And then, my propensity to lean towards advanced metrics, where on EPA, they're on a tier level below both those teams and indeed also the Ravens and Eagles. When it just comes to like the kind of EPA of this all. Not to say that that is the end all be all, because there's other things happening in football outside of just like the pure efficiency numbers. But that's a Kansas City Chiefs team that it feels like if we get to a point later in the season where we go, oh man, it feels like they underachieved, I'll be like, yeah, but it felt like there was something there before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm like, how much do I try and acknowledge that now? Or is it because of the Chiefs that you just, all right, we're going to ignore that until proven differently, especially because of what we've seen from that head coach and Andy Reid, and what we've seen from this quarterback in Patrick Mahomes and so on and so forth. That even the defense under Steve Spagnuolo, like they have earned a benefit of the doubt that I guess you can give. But I still remain, I guess, skeptical is weird because it would seem that like I don't believe
skeptical
in that team.
In terms of elite.
Yeah, and I was like, it's a really good team. Don't get me wrong, but yeah to the degrees of like the Lions, I'm not sure if it's all the way there. But hey, we can go ahead and do that.
It's interesting to me.
Chiefs.
And it gets even more interesting because, okay, so you can be talked into the Bills, but we're all in somewhat of an agreement with Chiefs, Bills, and Lions in some, at least those teams are in the conversation for elite. When I get to contender, first of all, there's a lot of teams that are, I think, are legitimate contenders that are, some of them are surprises. I think the Ravens, some would say they're elite. I don't. I think I have them as a contender.
Yeah, the consistency thing that comes up, right? The fact that they're inconsistent. Also, the defense is a problem.
Yeah.
And what's the old defense win championships? Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you want to lean on that, but that defense has been, like, it's given up big plays. That's the real issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the big play potential on the Ravens is there in a big way. It's something that we're going to have to watch for on Christmas Day, and maybe that's something that you really gear up for when you have Joe Mixon and Nico Collins going full bore, especially only a few weeks off of a bye week, right?
Yeah.
That might be where you really hurt them because they have that's open, and when you get against the better teams in this league, you do wonder if those big plays are what's going to really harm them, even though that offense is something to write home about.
Yeah, it is. Also have, and I'm going to go through some of them here real quick because I think that it gets interesting when you consider who's on this same tier as contender. Steelers, Ravens, as I said. Eagles, some people would maybe put the Eagles elite.
No.
I do not.
Yeah, I think the Eagles are nicely in this category.
Here. Vikings, some would put the Vikings as elite. I would not, as much as they hammered the Texans.
That is the best defense in the league.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the
it
best
gets interesting.
In
like you're trusting what you're looking at and your gut more than like the numbers, you know, or you know how they're winning games. And here are the Vikings. I mean, they're a contender, but I wouldn't call them elite.
No, not at all. Like, we're not getting to that place. How do you feel about the 49ers with all of the injury issues that they've had? That's really exposed some of the things that also they're you know they brought in. They tried to replace some, not all of some of the like veteran loss that they had, and they haven't gotten the level of level of play that they hoped.
Yeah,
this is a Niners team that is kind of on the edge of their contention, right?
I have three teams from the NFC West on the same tier, and that tier is long shot.
The next tier, and the Niners are in there for you.
I have the Niners, Seahawks, and Rams as a long shot. I do have the Cardinals as a contender. And the only reason is I think they've got the easiest path to win the division, and any team out of that division is going to have a shot.
Yeah.
Whereas the Seahawks, Niners, and Rams are all basically, you know, fighting for their playoff lives. To me, it's that alone makes them somewhat of a long shot because they're not even in the discussion yet for a true postseason berth.
I think that's fair. Where did you end up with the Washington Commanders?
I've got them as a contender. I've liked the Commanders for a while now, as you guys know. Well, I'll give you the whole list of contenders. Steelers, Ravens, Texans, Chargers, Eagles, Vikings, Packers, Cardinals, and Commanders.
There's a lot of teams in there.
Cardinals and Commanders are...
The Cardinals might be a little more shocking than the Commanders to me,
man. Yeah, but they keep...
I didn't know they was going to be ahead.
They keep shocking teams.
Man.
I mean, the Cardinals keep...
I thought they was in rebuild mode, man.
Yeah, they keep shocking. Now, they've had an easier schedule. By definition, I mean, because of where they finished last year, but they've beaten the Chargers.
Man, yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of teams that had the easy schedule at some point.
They've beaten the Chargers. Man. They've beaten the Niners. They got run out by the Commanders, but the Cardinals just keep surprising.
Okay. And then
long shots.
I kind of want to split up that contender tier. There's so many
subset.
That it feels like there's a distinction within that because there's so many teams. But okay. Let's finish this out. Long shots,
Broncos.
You don't have belief in the Broncos because that's another one of those incredible defense teams that you're working with right now.
I think the Broncos are scary, and maybe like I said, that's why I like these discussions because it's gonna clearly define where you stand on a certain team versus me, and you clearly like the Broncos more.
I like their defense. Their defense is really good.
Yeah,
this is where I have the question is. How much does your lack of knowledge on Bo Nix in these circumstances?
We're learning fast.
Like how much does that affect this? Because it feels like they have a really, really good defense. and then
and he's offensive, playing better.
Offensive play caller that knows exactly where to put Bo Nix and how to deploy him. Is that just a somewhat an acknowledgement that he's still early in this and he's going to make mistakes?
I've been obviously like everybody else has been. You know, he's on the same level as some other players for like Jaden Daniels for Rookie of the Year. All of a sudden, if you look up at the numbers, but again, this is where you know the eye test comes in. I look at the Commanders and I look at the Broncos, and I think the Commanders are a better shot, better, you know, more put together to be a contender.
No, it's fair.
Yeah, than a long shot. Dolphins, I have a long shot. They may not even sniff the playoffs, but they're going to be in the hunt for now. You know, they're in the hunt for now. Bengals, same thing. You know, terrific play from their quarterback, but they're just not getting the wins, you know?
Yeah, and that's a tough because, like, I guess their defense is also really, anyways, really bad.
And Falcons, I consider a long shot, and they're winning their division.
And that's really just the strength of it. Otherwise, they'd be in a...
I'm not sure they're going to win the division.
They'd be in a lower level. Them.
Mike Evans is coming back this week, according to reports.
Okay.
You know, so...
All right, so in that contender tier, you had the Texans along with who? Baltimore, Washington, Eagles, and Philly,
Vikings,
Minnesota,
Packers.
All right, comparing those teams around, like those teams in that tier, like is this Texas team at the higher portions of this tier, the lower portions of this tier? Because obviously the idea is to be able to climb up and be on the higher portions. That'd be interesting, right?
Whew, why did you ask me that question?
Because I want to get a better understanding of where this team sits, right?
Like, if I had to rank the subset in the contenders, they would be near the bottom.
And I think that is the frustrating
of the
part.
The contenders.
Of that tier.
Well, okay, tell
throughout
me.
The whole NFL.
No. Of that or contenders tier. Of these teams.
That's what I talk about, the contenders at the NFL, not the AFC.
All right,
no,
so
the NFL.
Are they better than the Commanders?
I would say yes.
Okay.
I would say they're better. I would say they're better than the Cardinals,
Packers.
Nah, they lost to them, man.
Yeah, but this ain't quite a head to head. Because here's the thing: you beat the Bills. How do you feel about playing the Bills again?
Yeah, exactly. I would say, yeah, I might put them ahead of the Packers.
Vikings again?
Nope.
Eagles?
Nope.
Chargers?
No.
Ravens, Steelers?
No, and no. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know. They're a contender, but they're kind of near the bottom of that. Now, that's AFC and NFC combined, as you said, Biggie, but still.
But, I mean, you've got some AFC teams in there, and this is the conversation we've been having, right? Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Ravens, Chargers all feel like teams that you could very easily and probably have to, based on what we're seeing right now, have to place above the Texans when it comes to belief and confidence that they will compete at a high level when that time comes around in the playoffs. And this is where... The Texans know they clearly need to get better, but it has to be displayed. You're running out of time to actually display and show that you can do that. And, yeah, I mean, show yourselves, but give yourself the confidence that not only can you do that, but you can do it consistently. Because, again, with the Texans, the frustration for me is we see it in bits and pieces and all over sprinkled across the season.
Yeah.
We don't see it consistently all the way across. And that's, if I see it all the way across a game, it makes me feel better that, hey, when the time comes, you can dial it up and do it. We've seen the Bills show up and do, you know, give you the full complement of game. Yes, they've had games where they have not been very good. Hell, the Texans made them look problematic. But they've shown you the full article. I don't know that you've seen the full article from the Texans compared to the ways that you have from the Ravens or the Chiefs. Or even the Chargers and Steelers have given you a full article.
If you're looking at just the AFC teams on these two tiers, you have two AFC teams that are elite, in my view, Chiefs and Bills. And you have three ahead of the Texans as contenders, Steelers, Ravens, and Chargers. So that means the Texans in the AFC alone, if you're looking at the tiers, they're probably the sixth best team today.
And,
you know,
if you get to the end of the year and that remains the case and all is said and done, successful season or no?
No, it's all about where you are in the post. You have to win a divisional game. You have to show that next step. You have to get to the AFC Championship game.
Whew.
That sounds weird to say, but yes, you do.
And I think they understood that feeling, that vibe with this team once you kind of pushed in. But it's interesting to actually get a look at it. That is where this team sits in all of this. That is why you hope to get better and you hope to put it more on the table. And it feels like you took a step in the right direction in some ways offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Nico Collins being back clearly shifts some of these things. And he was on a pitch clock, or pitch count rather. Mm-hmm. How much different does that look when he is able to impact more of those snaps? Remains to be seen. In fact, I think that the Titans game might give you a little bit more of an indication of that as we continue going. Right now, you're in the loop, however, on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about that time where we hand it off to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What we got?
Yeah, so soon to be president of the USA made a move which made me want a stone cold stunner, a old white lady.
What?
Kyler Murray, the man of the people. He was in New York eating some pizza. Mm-hmm. I explained why that was so funny to me. And would you try some pizza flavor wine? Speaking of pizza.
Huh. All right. Let's talk about that next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. I'm surviving. My voice don't sound as bad as I thought it would sound, but I'm hanging in there, man.
Yeah, you sound good, bro.
I got my tea. I got some super duper whatever cough drop you gave me earlier.
Power mints, baby. Power mints.
Dog, it felt like I was eating some Vicks Vapor.
Yeah, the Vicks Vapor rub.
Yeah. It felt like I was eating some of that, but I'm hanging in there. And I get right to it, man. So soon to be president Donald Trump transitioned co-chair Linda McMahon. Is expected to be named Secretary of the Department of Education, sources say.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be honest with y'all, I ain't got a take on this or anything like this.
Good.
But I thought it was fake. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fake, man.
Linda McMahon.
Yeah, I thought it was fake because I know Linda McMahon from being on WWF.
Yeah.
That was the wife of Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
And I instantly thought about when she got Stone Cold Stunner by the one and only Stone Cold Steve
That's
Austin.
Right.
A classy woman, Linda McMahon. And I forgot to say, thank you.
She got Stone Cold Stunner, man.
How old was she when this happened?
Hey, man, at the time,
I'm looking at it. It looks at least 50.
At the time, I thought she was like 70 years old.
I bet you should.
Man, look at this. I'm looking.
Yeah. And that was like 20, 30 years ago, man.
I mean, I've seen this before, but it's just so funny now.
Well, man, she's 76 right now, so she probably was at least 50.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool. And another thing about this, I wish that would happen, but probably won't happen, is how she, I don't know if she's going to do a good job, and I don't care about all that, but I kind of wish she stepped down.
Mm-hmm.
And
why is that?
I want her to put somebody else in that position.
Oh, okay.
Just like she did on Monday Night Raw.
What all this means is that earlier today, I stepped down, not before I handpicked my own successor. Allow me to introduce you to the new CEO.
You just wanted to keep the Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I wish she'd do something like that. I just wish she stepped down
you
and
never know.
Appoint Stone Cold Steve
Austin. Never know.
Why do you say that?
Because you never know. It's Linda McMahon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
I thought you were saying something about Stone Cold.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I just hope it's Stone Cold so he can bring
that'd
that
be
music.
Even better.
Yeah, that would be.
The glass break that does something for you?
Yeah. No, that would be fun. But real quick, some, I guess some Figgy stats and info about
Ooh.
This.
Ooh.
I guarantee you, you ain't got to search this or anything, do no deep digging, but she will be the first secretary of the Department of Education to get Stone Cold Stunner.
I think that checks out.
And she's the first to be in a video game, which is WWE.
Yeah.
WWE video game.
No. So there might be someone else who was in
the Yeah, now I really want to look this up.
There might have been.
She's the first.
I don't know about that one. I think your first one is right. I don't know.
Now, they've been making these games, I want to say, since the 2000s. Yeah. I think she was on, I want to say, No Mercy, want to say.
Yeah.
Which, that was like 2000, 2001.
Are you questioning the Figgy stats and info?
Just part of it.
Do your research. Do your research.
Look it up. Google it.
So, I just ran across this like 5 minutes ago, man. Mm-hmm. So, this is hot off the presses. And Jay Leno, apparently.
Oh, did you see his face?
He looked pretty bad, man. Oh. He in bad shape. I'm gonna play this audio of him explaining what happened to him. It looked like he got beat up. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to come to a conspiracy after we hear this.
What on earth happened to Jay Leno?
Mm-hmm. Look at your poor face.
Look at my eye.
Oh, my gosh.
Jay Leno is all bruised up. The left side of his face is black and blue. His eye is swollen shut. And look at his injured wrist.
I broke my wrist. Lost my the nail on the finger. And then I'm all black and blue.
The comedian says he fell down a 60-foot hill.
I said, well, the hill doesn't look that steep. Let me take a down. And then I...
You rolled down a hill?
Oh,
that's not true.
No, that's true.
Jay Leno says he was staying at a Hampton Inn about 30 miles outside of Pittsburgh on Saturday night when he wanted to have dinner at a local restaurant before his show. Instead of walking a mile and a half down the road, he decided to take a shortcut down the hill. Not a good idea.
Let me get my conspiracy music right
please.
Now.
Please, because wait.
I don't buy
what hotel
this.
Was that?
Hampton Inn near Pittsburgh? Did he say Pittsburgh?
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
I was about to say, Jay Leno stays at Hampton Inn, but I'm like, all right. And I'm not trying to shade Pittsburgh, but whatever. There's got to be better hotels.
I'm actually looking at maps, see if there's any of them on the hill.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I got a conspiracy about this, man, because whenever I think about Jay Leno, for some reason, I think about L.A. and Vegas and all this other stuff. My man looked like he got beat up by somebody.
I agree.
I felt like he got some gambling debts or something going on.
Yep.
And I felt because he mentioned how he saw the hill. He didn't think it was that deep.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was a gang of dudes right there. Like, hey, we going to throw – where are $20 million at? And I feel like they threw him down the hill, and he just made that excuse up, man.
That bruise on his face, and I actually don't recommend you look at it because it's gross.
Okay. I won't. Thank you.
It goes from the top of his forehead all the way down to his chin on the entire left side of his face. It's one giant bruise.
He got beat up, man. I feel like he owed the mob some money or something.
That couldn't have been a fall.
Yeah, I think he just making an excuse, man.
I
think he owed a lot of money. Somebody whooped his ass and he had to cover it up by saying, oh, I tripped and fell.
Yeah, it's weird because you hear tripped and fell and like it's very possible. People trip every day, B.
Yeah.
But you hear that and you're immediately like something's afoot.
Yes.
There's other things happening. I don't know why, and it's probably not fair to the good people that was a Hampton Inn, but like,
why the hell are you trying to take a shortcut, man? You trying to go
down
you're trying
hill.
To save time. What you mean?
Brother, get out of here. That sound, I'm going to enter my Judge Judy. That is so full of baloney. He is full of baloney with that. I don't believe that at all.
Yeah.
I think of my...
Ain't no way he should be getting beat up if he does have gambling debts or whatever. He got all them vintage cars. All you got to do is sell one or
two. He's got a bunch of cars.
Hey, you wouldn't believe how many people would be still broke or still owing money out here,
fair.
Man.
That is fair.
Yeah, I can see him been dodging the man, and they called up to him in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I bet if you were dodging somebody on some money, they look at you like, you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't duck me on my money.
Like, hey, they probably pulled up to him in the black truck. Like, hey, come here.
Let me talk
threw
to you.
Threw him in the car. Yeah. Took him to a hill.
You think they threw him down the hill so he's not lying about
that
going
happens.
Down the hill.
I think so. That happens.
I think so. Next time it's going to be a bridge.
Yeah.
So, I believe that. So Kyler Murray, man, he did something I thought that was super cool. He went to he flew to New York to try some pizza, man.
Mm-hmm.
He went and ate some pizza.
Wait, what?
No, he did. It was off week, wasn't it? Wasn't it their off week?
Oh,
I think so. I think it had to be a bye week. I don't think he'd do any. I think he'd,
if he did it on an off day, even more respect.
But also just to get some pizza. Were there other things involved?
He was out there trying some pizza. And I think the best part about this, I'm going to play this audio of him trying to pizza and talking to the guy next to him, who, by the way, had no idea who the hell he was.
Yeah. How is it?
Solid. What's your name, bro? Not bad. You like it? Your name, bro? My name is Surya. Surya? What's your name? Tyler. Where are you from?
Switzerland.
Nice ranch. That's a little saucy. The bread ain't bread.
So you guys go around testing different pizzas or just this one?
No, just enjoy New York.
He said, I'm just enjoying
New York.
He said, you guys just go around trying pizza? Join New York. Yeah. I like stuff like that, man. It's done better than somebody that's a high profile athlete or celebrity that's just being around the people, just being normal. And people have no idea who that person is.
And I think it works for him a little bit more. Now, he does play one of the more recognizable positions in NFL. But, like, stature-wise, some of these athletes don't have a real benefit of being able
to do
that.
Hey, you must be a football player. Nobody's telling him that, or very few.
I think some of the football players can get away with it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you play a certain position, you might be able to get away with looking just like a good dude that maybe stays in the gym a whole bunch or whatever.
Yeah.
He feels like he can get away with just being, like, more of an everyday dude if you are talking to somebody that does not, like, keep up with sports.
Yes. And like you said, Figgy, you know, hey, I'm going to go. It was their bye week, by the way, but I'm going to go to New York, try some of that pizza.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, I thought that was cool. It was one time I was in the Uber, and I got in, and somebody was listening to 610.
And they had no idea?
They had no idea.
Yeah.
Did you tell them?
No, I didn't. I never said anything. I was just quiet, and he was kind of flipping back and forth from music, and then go back to 610.
Oh, but was he texting as well, letting people know that he was going to music?
No. He did not. He had his hands on the wheel.
I was just asking questions.
He was flipping back and forth, but I could have easily been like, "Hey, you like that station?" I was just letting him do his thing. But speaking of pizza, though, Pizza Hut is selling a new pizza flavor wine made with tomatoes instead of grapes.
No, they're not. They are absolutely not going to do that.
They are.
Do these work? Right? Like, I mean, yes, these little stunts do work in that they get people like us to talk about how nonsensical they are. Do people hear these things and be like, oh, pizza wine, that's wild. But you know what? I haven't had Pizza Hut in a while. And then go like, because that feels like that's the whole idea, right? It's just people thinking about the brand maybe brings you back to the brand.
Mm-hmm. This is gross.
Yeah.
This is gross.
Yeah, so it's a it's called Tomato Wine by Pizza Hut, so very catchy. they partner up with a winery in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And
known for its wineries.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't think that was a thing. Yeah. I didn't want to be a jerk, but I did not realize that was a thing.
Yeah,
known for its fine wines.
Yeah, so they're selling half bottles at, is it Irvine Winery.com. Mm-hmm. $25. And you have to buy at least two, so you're paying $50.
They're charging $25.
That should be what, like...
you can get a really good bottle of wine, or, you know, good, at HEB for $25. And you're getting a basil-infused tomato wine?
Yeah. Also, it's more.
But you're paying for the brand.
Yeah. Yes, obviously.
Also, if they have a $60 gift box version where it comes with a wine opener. Two Pizza Hut branded wine glasses.
Oh, well, that makes it worth it.
Yeah,
then.
Man. Yeah.
I'm fighting somebody if they gift me that. Like, why do you know so little about me?
Oh, the gift set is $60. I thought it was $25 with the gifts. No, the gift set is $60.
So it's $25 each, but you have to buy two. So you're pretty much paying $50 for two bottles. But you can get the gift one for extra $10.
No way.
You get the wine glasses. Come on, man. You're the wine expert, man.
Yes, I am.
You gotta try.
At least, I'm not an expert, but I'm the expert in this room.
Spend some of that OG sauce and buy that wine, man.
Yeah.
Give us a review.
Give us
on
the taste test. On the tomato wine.
I get y'all out of here on this. We had this discussion a lot about tribute videos, when who gets one, who don't get one. So the Miami Heat mentioned how they would not give Caleb Martin a video tribute because the team reserved tribute videos for players who had either A, won an NBA championship, or B, made an all-star appearance with the organization.
Good.
I feel like that's fair.
Good.
Is that fair?
No, that feels fair.
I feel like that should kind of be all around a little bit too, man.
The Astros give out tribute videos like Skittles.
Shout out to what's his name? Straw?
Who was it?
What's his name? Is it Brian Straw?
No, but anyway, they were giving out tribute videos like, oh, wow, that's right.
Yeah, he did play here. Yeah, he's giving them out to everybody.
He did play here.
Yeah, so.
Miles Straw is who you talking about.
Miles Straw, right?
Oh, Miles Straw.
Miles Straw, yeah. I think he got like two or three of them.
not two or three. Yeah, it's tough because clearly you want to at least have the social team be able to have enough things to point to on the video that make it notable. So yeah, you a person like of certain caliber.
I like that
standard. Yeah, I thought that was fair.
Mm-hmm. But I think also that standard misses like a few players here and there where it's just like fan favorites that even if they're not a...
Okay, then you're a fan favorite. It's good enough. Yeah. It's not tribute.
Just do a little hat tip or something, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Just do a little hat tip. Exactly. We ain't got to spend a couple minutes or a couple seconds putting the video together and all this other stuff, man. Just salute.
Hey, 832, texted in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. If I order that tomato wine to send it to y'all, will you try it on air?
No.
You're damn right. I will force him to drink it.
You got to try it.
832, he will drink it on air. I guarantee you.
We got to get a glass and we got to cheers and drink it during the show.
I'd rather drink that nasty Mad Dog that the afternoon guys.
I mean, the Mad Dog is nasty, but the Winds aren't. You know? I'm proud of them for doing that. All right. That's the Figgy's mixtape every weekday, 1:20 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 610. And let's give something away. How about that? $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop. Caller number 6, right this moment, will get a $50 gift card to the Texas Star Grill Shop and be entered for a chance to win a grill from Texas Star Grill Shop at the end of the football season. So again, caller number 6 right now, 713-572-4610 will win that. All right, coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to The Drive with Clint and Ron. They're getting ready. But then also a few news and notes before we do that. We'll do it next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula. We're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, getting ready to turn you over to The Drive with Clint and Ron. They're in there getting ready for another fantastic show. Before we do that, a few news and notes. I did appreciate Kelly Eco of The Athletic. He covers the Rockets and some other teams in the NBA. And making it kind of official, we talked to Spo earlier and appreciations to him. You know, kind of just, you know, I think they're good where they are. This is a little, making it just a little bit more official. The Rockets are not interested in breaking up their core for Bucks forward Giannis Adetokunbo. Sources tell The Athletic, Houston currently sitting 10-5 and a game out of first in the West. And remains focused on developing its young players as a collective.
Nor should they.
I don't think they should.
Not right now. Yeah, at least not right now.
No, and I mean it doesn't feel like it makes sense with how you would play Giannis with Alperen Sengun unless you were giving up on Alperen, which I don't even think you could trade him in this moment. It would have to be in the offseason if my memory serves me correctly. And then it just feels like you're already working on a lot of young talent that looks like they can grow and develop together to the point of making a really good basketball team. I think you'd have to go a whole different direction with all the pieces that you would need to trade to accommodate the salary that Giannis brings. And then you'd have to find a way to add shooting on top of that. And you'd be going backward in that regard because I feel like you would have to put Reed Sheppard in there in addition to some other players just to get there. So you wouldn't even have the shooting that you've been acquiring now to try and get better at shooting. It just doesn't seem to make a ton of sense.
Not right now. But I'm not saying it's not going to make any sense. That particular trade, I don't think so.
But I think that there are other. There might be a player or two, but it feels like it would have to be a player that is more of a guard, probably someone that has definitely someone that has an opportunity to either like run offense or knock down shots. I think that would be more of, I guess, a trade, particularly at like a star level that would make more sense. But no, they're already doing some of the things where they're figuring some stuff out with this current iteration of the team. Another thing that came up, and this was courtesy of Jonathan Alexander, as practice is getting going. This part is not about practice, but practice is getting going for your Texans. The Texans won't be wearing the H-Town helmets.
Oh, no.
Against the Titans. And I know that... This is one of those weeks that you really want to put it to them.
You're going to stick it to her.
To who?
Her.
Who's that?
Amy Adams' you know, Strunk.
Okay. Every time you bring her up, I'm always afraid that you're going to say something reckless. But no, you're not going to do that. The NFL rules apparently prohibit teams from wearing alternate jerseys more than three times in a season. They've already worn two, and Jonathan thinks Christmas Day is likely the third.
I don't know if this is going to – I mean, I'm not doubting his reporting. He's saying it flat out. But, boy, the Titans, and this is kind of why you got these.
The H-Town Blues.
Yeah. Isn't this, like, a big part of why you got them?
Man, I don't think they worth it, man, to be honest, man.
Oh, wow.
I just don't think they were. If they was, like, a contender or something like that, and this was a primetime game –
this ain't got nothing to do with contending, though. This is about putting it to that one team that left.
They not even worth it, man. That's an old ugly.
That is really
that's
a
old
right there for
that's
an
old ugly ex girlfriend.
You're not
much.
Even worth my
you
time.
Gotta,
Figgy, you're not petty enough. You need to find more petty, because even if they not worth it, you still annoying them and making them feel even less worth it, right?
I don't even think about you. That's what Figgy said.
Yeah, I moved on
because they have the audacity. They have the audacity to run them jerseys out. No, you need to poke it to them and make them mad. Just like they clearly know what they're doing when they run them Oilers jerseys out.
And I am proud to say I have not moved on.
But see, that's all they got. That was the highlight of the year last year. Was those jerseys, and they lost.
Yeah. They got their butts whipped. I also feel like they might have something up their sleeve. They're definitely going to have something up their sleeve.
Yeah, if it's not the jerseys, it's something.
For the Titans. Because I think last time they played the Titans here, the special guest that they introduced at break or halftime was Dan Pastorini and Bruce Matthews.
Yeah.
Sticking it to him, you know, as Amy Adams, you know, is there.
Yeah, I think it said on the screen, Houston legend.
Yes. Yeah, Houston legend.
It said Houston legend.
So I think they have something up their sleeve. Now,
I would bring Dan Pastorini on the field.
Yeah.
And
like
honor
that.
Him. And Bruce Matthews. I don't know if they can, but.
Warren Moon.
I ain't think about Warren Moon.
All of them. But Christmas Day, I guess it's fair to say, you know, you're the only game in town at that point. I'm not saying his reporting is wrong. They might not be doing this, but
they're
going to be doing something.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's like full blown reporting or just kind of like deducing off of what we have here.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that they've had. There's three times total. You've already had used two of those instances of wearing alternate jerseys.
Yeah.
And then the third would a reasonable time to wear the third would be an occasion.
Mm-hmm.
I could easily see it where this is the occasion that matters to them. And they're like, we could go with our regular deep steel blue jerseys on Christmas Day. That's fine. But, you know, making sure that the H-Town blue that you know that team over there is not really fond of that you bring out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might be worth it.
Can I interest you in some really good news?
That's exactly where I would like to go.
How about not just Kamari Lassiter returning to practice today, but one Will Anderson returning to practice today as well, or at least practicing today.
Yeah, that's
now
huge.
It's a walkthrough because of the Monday night game. They're not doing much at all.
No,
it's only like a 45-minute practice.
But it's still, I mean, there's still some drills involved there, even if there's not going to be like thudding and all that stuff. And seems like there's some reporting also that I think this is Cody Stoops saying that, you know, Will Anderson Jr. is moving pretty well out there.
Yeah.
Which that's what you really want and what you hope for, especially when, you know, the designation was week to week.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't feel like that's anything that's like relatively imminent. The idea that he's out there moving well on the first practice of the week, especially, feels like it bodes well for the possibility of him playing and just getting back to this, because we've very much seen how vital he is to this defense and to this team, because it's a whole different level when you have him on the field getting pressure and applying and getting sacks as well.
Especially as they're improving on defense, as we've talked about a couple of times today. And by the way, we really haven't mentioned this a whole lot other than yesterday in the post game. Danielle Hunter just entering another hemisphere as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so you get those two guys at their game, it should be pretty good.
And What a week for that to happen, because if he comes back and they're playing at this high level, as Danil also is, hitting the double, you know, double move, spin move things, hey, it's going to be Will Levis back there.
He's going to be snapped like a toothpick.
In hell.
Yeah.
He will be in hell, is the way that I would put it. And thank you, A32, for bringing up the question. Figgy, you still at the news desk? What is going on with Christian Harris?
Christian Harris is going on.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Thank you for that update. No,
when are you
going
to let us know, Figgy?
Whenever Christian Harris let us know.
That's right. No, I think the Christian Harris thing, it feels like we're 120
plus days, baby. Start yeah. a training camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Training for 15 minutes on a practice field.
Yep.
I've been, as we welcome in. Yeah, man. We welcome in Ron and Clint of The Drive. We're getting ready to hand it off to them. And I think I'm in a place where I'm trying to get my spirits to a place where I'm just like, don't worry about Christian Harris, so that it's all positives when he does indeed return. And I hate to add this caveat, if he does indeed return. But the reporting is, or like the hypotheses have been that, you know, week 14 and then obviously playing week 15. How are you handling
Have
Christian
you heard
Harris?
Anybody from the Texans say
no, that? Not even close.
No.
I think it's insane.
Mm-hmm. It is
we're not,
insane.
That we're not getting any, like the like right now, if I ask you, all right, what's the injury? Like if you took Kyle Tucker, what was the injury? All right, you know, he mm-hmm. fouled the ball off his leg.
Swollen.
They said it was swollen. Even though they were just dead wrong, there was at least
saw the spark of the impetus.
Yes, at least they were telling us something.
Yeah.
Ryan, if I ask you what is the injury that you have from the information you have on Christian Harris, what's the injury?
Calf.
Strained calf.
Muscle.
He has played for 15 minutes at a practice in 120 plus days on a strained calf. That's all we know. Clearly, it's not a strained calf.
No.
But they're just, I mean.
They got indignant about us asking about it, too.
And and then they just, people just stop asking about it. It is just, I don't know. It is wild that, like, nah, man, strained calf.
What typically follows a strained calf, boys?
We keep saying Kevin Durant.
No, I thought he had surgery, and they just didn't tell us.
Which is wild. Yeah, absolutely. Why? Why wouldn't?
I think he's done. Yeah. I think he's done for the season. I think
they're saying bye week, coming back after the bye week.
No, that's the report.
Nobody from the Texans have said that.
Yeah.
I know that Jonathan Alexander, the Chronicle, has hypothesized that, as well as Aaron Wilson, KPRC, too, has kind of put that out there as a possibility.
None of them have said it.
But that's the best we got, right? Like, is a couple of people around the team has put that as, like, the hypothesis. But, yeah, the Texans haven't given us anything in that regard.
Yeah, well, it's hard to think. And maybe I haven't been there, so maybe those guys have and have seen it. That maybe he's at practice jogging on the side doing some work.
I haven't seen that a lot. If it has, no, I haven't seen it.
I have not seen it or heard it. If it's not happening now, which is what are we going into week 12?
12.
I have a hard time thinking that he's going to get on the field, move, get pads on, and be ready to play by week 15.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still got to ramp up and get in shape and football shape and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that one, my hopes have been dashed on that one. I'm trying to make sure I don't allow the hope to rise too much to keep myself from being.
You've been in this game a lot longer than any of us probably combined, John. Like, we're past the point of Christian will be, like, the answer that is acceptable, that Christian will be ready when he's ready.
I could write a thesis on the way things have changed just with regard to injury reporting in the last 5-10 years. But no, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for them, if we're being honest.
Well, I can report that the dude's ready to go. Glenn, Ron, right. T-Mill. You're listening to KALT, KALT HD2 on Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, The Drive is live.